Okay, so yeah, thanks for being here today. It's super encouraging to learn the Lord's Word together. And so the next 6 weeks, we'll take off time for Palm Sunday and Easter, of course. Not take off Sundays, but we'll be focused on those two events. But we'll go 6 weeks. This is a series that doctrinally and in practice makes a big difference. So you're going to be like, hey, you're teaching a lot. And it's like, yeah, because how else do people learn and then they're equipped to go out and share and speak truth to others? So I like the formula. I like the thought behind it, but we'll let you and I, let's go through together and see if the Lord will enlighten us with new learning today. And the Holy Spirit would prick our heart to have something totally new, perhaps that you've not studied before. Or if you say, yeah, been there, studied that, done that, thanks a lot, then you're challenged to go out and apply it. Go out and live it. That's the big challenge that'll be next. But we'll get some of that today. Every time I study, my tail end, hope I can say that in church, my tail end gets like kind of booted a little bit. And I get conviction about my own life and how fallible I am, how messed up my thinking is. And maybe you'll identify with that a little bit today. Maybe the Lord will give you something totally different. So Jesus, today, thank you that we can worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us that you came, John 1:14, full of grace and truth. Help us to know what that means. Help us to know what it means to come to people, to talk to people in grace. That means unmerited favor. And then when the time is right, give them truth. And if the time's not right for a while, hold off on truth until you've earned the right to be heard, we should do, Lord. And so today, help us to really get a sense of what you're doing in our hearts, in our midst, as we kind of spell out 6 weeks of prayer doctrine, but in the form of a teaching that has application and life-changing principles. Oh, Jesus, thank you for getting us here today. Thank you for the opportunity to love you well, because we already know you've loved us well. 24/7, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Oh my goodness. In your precious name, amen. Hey, speaking of tax season. Sorry, but all my records were lost in the flood. Not bad, huh? Yeah, thanks. I mean, I actually, you guys are actually looking at it and smiling, not like a courtesy smile, like, I think that has potential. Those are my barometers. That's my measuring stick. And a lot of times it's like either rolling the eyes, I mean, not all the time, or it's like, yeah, I can't get there. Okay. Anyway, you know, it's all good. But yeah, that was kind of cute. So, but it's true. I mean, especially in Apple Valley, all the rain that we've had. Oh my goodness. Hey, prayer, if you have an outline, prayer is a personal communication with God. It's a personal intimacy with God. You're like, yeah, I don't like it though, because I do all the talking. Well, when that happens with me, I gotta shut up. And then when I don't talk, then he starts to put things in my mind. Sometimes I'll be called to pray and I'll just sit there and I'll just wait. And I no longer bring the dog in for circus distraction. We have a Great Dane. And so when God, it used to be that he'd call me to pray, I'd bring Jillian because she's 100 pounds of small Great Dane love, purebred. And so I could find myself while I'm waiting playing with Jilly, but then I go, I am defeating the purpose of why you've called me into this room to just sit before you, know of your deity, know that you are God. Jilly, get out of here. You're messing up my walk. And so I get angry at the dog because of it. But we're past that. She's forgiven me. I've forgiven her. It's all good. No distraction. Hey, check this out. Prayer, communication with God, true or false. You can answer now, but we're going to answer later. But if you want to answer now because you feel passionate about something, then answer now. We're a small group. Come together. Worship the Lord. Prayer has health, spiritual, and life direction. Benefits for living. Oh, got some people commenting. All right, very good. God changes his mind sometimes when we pray. Oh, I see a division. Ooh, that's a terrible word. I see a potential riff. Okay. We'll talk about it. Point 0.7% is time spent in prayer when I pray 10 minutes a day. This is like already off the path of my last two true-false comments. That means not even 1% of my day, 1,440 minutes in a day, 10 minutes of that, so 1,430, is 0.7% of the day that I spend intimately with Jesus sometimes as your pastor. Sometimes, some days. Now, that's not my study. That's not my devotion time. That's just intimate prayer. Some days. That's why I told you 4 months ago the Lord was calling me to go back to have time with him in the afternoons, in the evening, because I got to tell you, this right here accurately represents 1% of my day, 1,440 minutes a day. This is the 10 minutes in the morning that I give my so-called best friend. And so I'm going, boy, what best friend? Is it any wonder that sometimes I have rough days? Is it any wonder that I've caught up in this, for the lack of a better term, the radically transformed series that we just left? Is it any wonder that I'm kind of caught up in the American way? And it's just like, I've got a couple of minutes. That's a devotional. You version tells me to do a little couple minutes each morning with Jesus. So I listen to you version. And so do 50 billion other people. Okay? Well, that's a lot of people. Anyway, so a lot of other people. And so I'm thinking, 1%. Now I feel better. I feel a little bit better about going back to spend time with Jesus in the afternoons and at night by myself, because that, how can that even be a thing that we would have peace of mind and direction in our life when all of this is not anything with Jesus in terms of communication based on our description there? And so some of you think I'm really strange because I just try to get with you to pray a lot, and I try to pray all the time just because I know this statistic. I know what's missing there. Is it any wonder my wife and I come together and we don't really have a lot in common or a lot to talk about when we've got over 99%. Oh, this is the 1%. 10 minutes with Jesus is not even this. It's like just over half of this. That's just a measuring stick. If you go home and set a timer for 10 minutes and go into a room alone with Jesus, no dog, and you just spend time with Jesus, sometimes you go, I don't have 10 minutes. This is way too long. I'm stressed. I've got other issues. Well, then this should be coming down. So it's really kind of strange because I want to just kind of mark out the ease of this. The ease of this. Let me just show you here. So if I'm like this and, hi, Simon. Yeah, not getting a high back is sometimes okay for somebody, you know, and especially somebody, you know, in school and you know, way, way, way cooler than I am. No, I'm just kidding. This is one humble, beautiful individual. Simon, is there anything that I could be praying for you about? Sure. What could I be praying for you about?
My college decisions.
College decisions. So Jesus, thank you for Simon. Jesus, there's a lot of colleges all over the United States, and I pray, Jesus, that you would help him to match up with a school that he would find that would be a great fit for him, where he could be your ambassador, your missionary, do your will and do your purpose, and is equally as important, get a great education to go into the career where he'll serve you and love you, Jesus. Protect his mind from places that he shouldn't go, Jesus. I would just ask your blessing over him and his call and taking all the resources that he can take in to make this decision in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. And so if I come to Simon and I'm distracted, I could write down several things that I want to cover in my prayer with Simon. And so it's really kind of unique. And so, hey, James, what up?
What's going on?
And not much. And hey, so I'm just kind of stressed. And so I just don't know what to do. So you may join me or you don't have to join me. Just listen. But Jesus, I need some direction on which way to go in the prayer series because I don't want to lead people astray in any way. So I need your wisdom, Jesus. I also need help, Lord, getting places on time, because that becomes a bone of contention sometimes in my own family because I'm not responsible all the time. So Jesus, yeah. Anything for you that you need help with, brother?
No, but would you like me to pray for you?
Oh my gosh! Yes, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now as you just soften up Pastor Don's heart, Lord, just to alleviate that stress that he has on him, Lord. We know that you are God overall and that you handle all things, Lord. Just be with him. Let him know that you are with him, Lord, and that all that we do, Lord, glorify your name.
Yeah, amen, amen. So thank you. That was really nice and pleasurable. And I think we've got like several minutes down towards the next 10 minutes. That's really cool. And so that's just the great value. And so I want to do just one more, and I want to go back and forth with somebody. I'm just popping by people. Is there anybody comfortable? Because I want you, like I did this last week, I purposefully went to my wife on several occasions, and she was going to watch a show. She's on her little tablet. She's on the TV, you know, and I'm on the TV too. We both are, and I just say, hey, do you mind when we pray for a little bit? And so I'll lay on the couch. She'll lay. We'll go back and forth. Anybody mind doing that with me? Because it really is random. John, if we just, so I say, Jesus, would you bless John and I's day? Just a short prayer. You got a prayer back for me? That's already on your heart? Anything?
Yes, Father. We are so thankful for a leader.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that the weather, even though it was blizzard out this morning early, it's and I've heard that's the case here at times. You've brought the sun out, and it's nice. And so we just go back and forth. Can you do that possibly with a family member? Can you just get with somebody, a spouse preferred, a spouse, and just get with them and just start praying. I don't know what to pray for. Okay, adoration for God. Okay, thanksgiving to God. Confession before God. Prayer, supplication, petition before God. And just do it throughout the day. People will think, you're a freak. You're a Jesus freak. Yes, yes. And I'm trying to move the needle so I don't have to continue to go through life with my so-called best friend and have this representing the relationship. It's kicking me. My household, as of this week and on, will be different. And my wife goes right along with it, depending on the series. She goes right along with it, and it just works out great. But our life changes. But so-and-so doesn't know what to pray for. Have so-and-so, whoever so-and-so is, have so-and-so make a list. I used to bring lists to our prayer meetings so I wouldn't forget anything. She goes, "Ah, let's do your list first." And it was fine. She was fine about it. So this is what we're talking about. And it's not even that much if we're doing 10 minutes. It's 0.7 of 1%. Oh. Prayer pleases God. Yeah. Prayer changes the way God acts. Okay, let's start with this one. Prayer changes the way God acts. Very good. Look at these two verses. I've got several more that I'll give you guys later, but this is the evidence of prayer changes the way God acts. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This might be linked to the end of chapter 4, where it says, hey, don't sit there and plot about what you're going to do tomorrow or next year. Worry about today, and if the Lord wills, you'll have that time. It could be linked to that. But here's the thing. Failure to ask here is a problem. Do you see the implication? You don't have because you don't ask. Then you ask, in my case, with the wrong motive. So it's like, okay. So do you see the idea? If you ask and it's not selfishly asking, the implication is God will move. It's not lying. God will move. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So look at this. We confess in prayer as Christians and then He forgives. But I already accepted Jesus and He forgave me of all my sins, past, present, and future. Great! Yay! But now you get to walk with Jesus on this earth until He returns. How's that going for you? All spirit, no flesh? Not going well for me. Maybe it's going better for you. Maybe I need you to come over and pray for me. Okay, so anyway, if you confess our sins, we confess our sins, faithful and just. So this is to new Christians in Asia Minor, a letter that probably circulated to many churches. If you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, little children, that's the Apostle John, little children, new believers, you're going to sin. But when you do, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the satisfaction of God's wrath in the Greek. That's God. That's Jesus. And I go home, and I'm proud, and I'm on cloud 9. And some days, that's what I have to show for my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Just not very much throughout the day. You know what I'm saying? It's the strangest thing. Last week, Matthew chapter 10. Last week, Jesus is setting up the apostles, the Jews, to go and evangelize. He was letting them know the power that they would have and the persecution that they would come under. He let them know all that, but they were to outwardly go into dangerous places and share their faith. Christianity, newsflash, is not a private, quiet institution. Christianity is not a private, quiet institution. Take Matthew 10. Take Matthew 10. The apostles were assigned to go and to proclaim. To go. That's for us. No, I'm not. I'm a quiet Christian. I pray behind the scenes. Well, bump up your time and pray with other people to bless their life. We must get past that. We must get past that. Okay, let's go on here. Another example, or maybe, causing God to act. I say maybe because, well, I'm going to let you decide. God is ticked. He is angry at his people. His people are crafting and building a golden calf. While Moses was on the mountain, by the way, this is the sixth time he's up and down from the mountain. This time, 40 days. Can you imagine what kind of shape he was in? Anyway, I think about those things. Exodus 24:18. Building a golden calf. Moses on the mountain. God saying, now Moses, and we'll get to this in a second, you better get down there. Aaron was in charge down below. And Aaron, like, I think he was the first high priest. He was Moses' sidekick. He's a spiritual guy. And he blows it terribly. Aaron was in charge and agreed with the people to make a god. A golden calf. Melted down the earrings, the jewelry, and attempted to maintain and associate the name of the Lord with it. So it's like, okay, Aaron's like, yeah, let's build this calf. And so people have something to worship, but we're going to call it Yahweh. And they didn't. They gave credit to the calf for their deliverance, for their exile. Okay, I mean, it's like, wait a second. This says, twist it all over it. So look what happens next. Go down, Moses. Summarize verse 7. They have made for themselves a golden calf. And have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. You know what God wants to do? Yeah. Take them out. Post toasty Cheerios, but burnt. He wants to start over with Moses. No deism here. What you have is God's transcendence and his immanence here. He's involved with his creation. Deism is like he winds up the world, gets it spinning, and then he removes himself. No, he's involved, completely involved. That's why we can trust him. When we watch World News Tonight with Nora O'Donnell, anybody besides me? Thank you. And like, oh no, this is terrible. Oh no, this is terrible. Oh, you know what? Colossians 1 says Jesus is going to keep it all together until the end. It's going to be okay. But oh, I get so wrapped up in that sometimes. I love World News. Anyway, lots to pray for there. Oh my goodness. If you watch Nora O'Donnell at 6 o'clock, you can also tape her if you have one of those little systems, and you watch the news, you could then just stop and pray for our world. Doop, doop. You know what I'm saying? That's that could be really exciting. It'll change your life. It'll change your family's life. It'll change your relationships. By spending more time with Jesus, it'll change you for the better. You're like, yeah, no, I'm good. How can we be good when the world's falling apart and we have so many people lost and hurting? Oh, yeah, we can have peace, but it comes through Jesus, and it comes with his peace that passeth all understanding and guards your mind and your heart in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7. Be anxious for nothing, pray about everything. Yeah. Oh, no, pray again. Yeah. Now, therefore, let me alone. That my wrath may burn hot against them. I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you. Okay, check this out. But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'?" Moses is bringing up some good points. Do you think God's going, "Oh yeah, that's right"? And he's omniscient? No, Moses is bringing this up because he's desperate for his people. Desperate for his people. Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Now get this. This may be the statement of the month. Of course, until next week's scripture comes up with something, another doozy. Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever." God made a covenant with Avram. We're studying it on Wednesday nights. It's really cool. Just a plug for the men's Bible study. Moses is bringing this up to remind God. But God is not in a place where he's going, "Oh yeah, that's right." God knows the covenant he made, the unilateral covenant he made. God knows that. This is not new. But Moses is trying to petition God, "Spare your people." He doesn't do a bad job, but here's where the problem comes in. Here's where the controversy comes in. Here's where our big question gets solved. Look what God does. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of, bringing on his people. He relented. In your King James Version Bible, some of you love King James. Do you know what it says? God repented. God repented. You got to know something's up when it says God repented. God can't repent. He's perfect. He can't make bad decisions. If he changes his mind, that's called open theism. If he changes his mind, it's open theism. In the 90s, a guy named Clark Pinnock got together with a bunch of theologians and said that, "Hey, I think these verses here and some others show that God doesn't really know the future. He doesn't know what he really wants to do. He doesn't really know what he wants to do. And God's going along with the Christians who are praying to make the future." That's open theism. There's a plan A. The people do this. There's a plan B. That's open theism. That's tragic. No, our God is not an open theist. I hope you're not either. But that's the kind of language that you start believing that we start believing, and it's going, that messes up all the theology. All of it. Let me go on. Moses describes the actions of God as they appeared to him using anthropomorphism. That's just a fancy way. A fancy way of saying that we're using words that describe God that will make us be able to relate to what he's doing. Because John 4:24, God is spirit. So there's a lot of anthropomorphism in the Bible. So Moses describes the actions of God as they appeared to him. So Moses is writing, and it's right there. Right there. It's what he has perceived as happening. God repented. God relented. He changed his mind. If God can change his mind, he's not immutable. That's a problem. If God can change his mind, I don't want to see it when he's ticked off and now he's decided to change everything, or he's changed something about salvation and has made it conditional. I don't want to be there. You don't either. So let's look at this further, though. Anthropomorphism. Another example of anthropomorphism. Psalms 118, 16. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The Lord's a spirit. The writer is trying to give a human description of action to describe what they're seeing. Holy Spirit inspired. For instance, Isaiah 66:1. Somebody look it up. We need a quick state change. Isaiah 66:1. Once you have it, belt it out, please. Otherwise, I'm going to come over to you with my board and make you pray with me. Sorry, you know I won't. It's all optional.
Okay. God has long legs.
where the house that you built unto me, where's the place for my rest?
Okay, we'll stop there because the first part was dandy. Just dandy. So yeah, the earth is his footstool. Okay, so you're going, whoa, God's got long legs. That's why he's got footstool in several places. He always has a footstool. He's got long legs. So you see, this kind of language
goes on. But in the weeks to come, we'll talk more about it. We must finish up. It's been 30 minutes. And I know you're going, well, it's time for a break. Can we stand up? Maybe give some high fives or something? So God is spirit, John 4:24. Here we go. Look at this. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He's perfect. The Lord doesn't change from his sovereign plans. He's got a plan. It starts with the Abrahamic covenant. It actually starts with Adam and Eve and the fall. But we see a major player. A major player is the Abrahamic covenant. And then we go from other covenants from there. Could the omniscient Lord make a mistake? No, he can't. Otherwise, we've got all sorts of problems. Our God is unchanging. He's immutable. That's Malachi 3:6 and James 1:17. He is all those things. He doesn't change. Does God know the end from the beginning? Is he all-powerful and all-knowing? The answer is yes. Can you say it like you mean it?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. So the bottom line is this. I'll say it quick, and even with an accent, because it's been a little bit long. Okay? Bottom line, God has ordained our personal petitions and communication with him as a means to move us towards his eternal purposes. So here it is. If God was unwise or not powerful, what would be the point of praying? That's why we can take this and we can build upon it. Who are you going to get with today? Who are you going to nuzzle up with? I ask husbands, you get to be the lead of your family. Ask your wife for some time today. You'll have amazing things to pray about. And you won't come back and say, ah, that stunk. Now let's go do something fun. Go to the movies or something. No, you won't. You go through it. It won't happen. Oh. This is probably the most powerful prayer affirmation that we have in the New Testament. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another. We don't have a private faith, folks. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you look at the verses, verse 13 through 18, in this passage, look at these verses, 13 through 18, in this context, you're going to see the prayer of righteous people, the effective and fervent prayer of righteous people. That means you're praying, you're not going, hey God, just help Simon with school, okay? And Lord, help me to find a good restaurant tonight. You know, that's not a fervent, effective prayer. There's no compassion. There's no buy-in with that. It says effective, fervent prayer. Spend some time really thinking about what you're doing there. But if you look at the verses around 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, you're going to see the prayer of righteous people. It doesn't just mean born again. Because born again, positionally, you're righteous. Born again, positionally, you're righteous before God. You're made white as snow. You're made perfect before the Father because of Jesus' sacrifice if you've accepted him. But this verse and the verses after indicate we're looking for, God's looking for people that are following him. And you're going to see there with Elijah prayed, everyday ordinary person, but one following God and what happened. So it gives the hint. It gives the hint of somebody not only born again, but somebody following Jesus. That's why sometimes you get the elders to pray, get other people to pray. It's very valuable. And we ourselves also qualify. Hey, to close us down here, God changes his mind sometimes when we pray, yes or no? Nope, there's going to be something else. Nope. So, and we'll get into that more next week. But changes his mind. Let's just go through this. If we remember this, we see this petition here, and it's a good petition, and God relented, but we said that was open theism. God does not change his mind. God does not change his mind, because that's a problem. If he changes his mind, he's not sovereign. And we talked about what language was used there. And we talked about the fact that, hey, this is just simply a matter of God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. So he doesn't change his mind according to his sovereign plan and will. Now, there's some other things that may give you some other directive and some other direction that seem like that, and that's coming up. Prayer can change the way God acts, true or false? True. Yes, and we gave you those verses. We gave you those verses for that. 100%. If my people, if you confess, if you ask for something, and it's with the right motive, it's not selfish, he will answer, he will provide. That's the implication there. That's what's implied there. And we'll be giving you those all throughout the series, different kind of tweaks like that that will make it become a little more fresh and obvious. Some things will happen when we pray that wouldn't otherwise happen. Yes or no? Absolutely. God invites us to share, participate in his work in creation and master plan through prayer. Yes, true. We have power and confidence to pray because Jesus is wise and infinitely powerful. Yeah. If we pray more, our eyes become open to recognize what God is doing in our lives and around us. And then finally, the challenge. finally, the thing we leave each other with. If prayer changes the way God acts towards us for the better, then what are we waiting for? Who are we going to get with? Who are we going to get with? How is this going to change so the family can change, so I can change? How is this going to change? So we understand God. We understand what he appreciates and what he calls us to be able to do. Who are you going to get? If your spouse is like, no way. And you might say, well, that'll be a project for 6 months from now. Then go to one of your friends. Go to one of your friends. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're so gracious to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us an idea of theology and doctrine and prayer. And thank you, Lord, that we can draw conclusions that bring us more intimate and more knowledgeable about you. Thank you, Jesus, that each week there's going to be theological challenge for us to take in, for us to have go out, and all the while looking to enhance our prayer time with you and with other people. Lord Jesus, there's everything in the balance that we can see riding on this opportunity. There's everything. We don't even know the good of things that will change more so than what you could ever give to us ahead of time in terms of foreknowledge. We just have to step out and do it. And so, Lord, if there's anybody except for myself, who's willing to change the routine of prayer and to study it more and to just move the needle to spend more time with you, have them, Lord, come up. Come up and at the altar, pray as a couple, pray as an individual, but take a stand. We've got a public faith. Matthew chapter 10 laid that out beautifully for us last week. We deny you, you deny us. That's a tough passage in Matthew. And so, Lord Jesus, we would just ask that people would be bold enough. I would ask my wife, oh, she's on her way, to come up here with me. Anybody else want to make just a prayer commitment? You're going to change. You're going to change something from 10 minutes to 12. I don't care. From 6 minutes to 7. I don't care. But you're saying before God, I could change this. And things could be markedly different. Take 5 or 6 minutes. Come and pray. Then go back to your seat.